I appreciate Brother Davis' ministry. He gets out and preaches a lot, and every time he's come here, he's always, the Lord has just had him preach something that would minister to my heart, and this preacher's heart certainly needs to be ministered to as well. Appreciate his friendship. Every boy, on a regular basis, I should say, he gives me a call just to basically say, I'm praying for you. Brother Davis, I thank you for that. And he's an encouragement to preachers, encouragement to lay people. And it's always a joy to have him. So right now, he's going to come and preach to us, Brother Davis.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Well, good morning. It's not noontime yet. Good morning. Are you awake? Well, you know, I was just telling Pastor, you know, tomorrow I'll be saved 53 years, and I'll be preaching 46 years. You know, I was saved on July 12, 1957, and then I surrendered to preach on July 12, 1964 in the 10th grade of high school. I know I don't look that old, but God's been good to me. And I'm glad to have my wife Scooter here with me today. Of course, you know, she has health issues and can't always come, but I'm so glad she was able to be here with me as well. And we're honored. Thank you for having us, Pastor, today to be here. And we do faithfully pray for you. And good to see old friends and make some new ones today as well. Just a passing thought, you know, this morning in Sunday school, Brother Fred was talking about the second coming. And, you know, we always say that heaven is our home. Of course, this is not our home. And, you know, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, because this is not our home. And thank God, God made us all spiritual beings. And our human experience is only temporary, and you can say amen to that. Those who have your Bibles this morning, if you would, turn over to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, if you would. And I'm going to read verses 17 through verse 22. And when you get there, if you'd please stand one more time, as we honor God by the reading of his precious holy word and inspired by the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, the Bible says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we sure do love you today. We're so thankful, Lord, of all the places we could have been to be here in this place. Thank you, Lord, for the love that's here. Thank you, Lord, for the life of this, and the enthusiasm and excitement, and being in God's house among God's people. And Lord, we have already experienced your presence here today, and we're so honored that you would meet with us. And God, I pray there's anyone in our midst today that does not know the sweet Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, today would be the day of decision. Lord, you're not dead, and you're not asleep, and you made sure that we're here. Now, Lord, may our minds and our ears and our hearts and spirits be open to your word. Anoint the preacher one more time. Minister to your people as only you can. And we'll be real sure to give you all the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' sweet, precious name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to notice there with me in verse 22. I'm sorry, verse 21. In verse 21, the Bible says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. I'm sorry. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, I'm sorry, verse 17 through verse 22. Anyway, in verse 22, verse 21, the Bible says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. And that's what I want us to think about for the next few moments. One thing thou lackest. From this situation that occurred in the life of the young rich ruler, think on these simple words, one thing thou lackest. Just as this young man bragged about all that he had done from his youth, for the Lord, we do the same thing. And, it's easy for us to get serving God and busy serving, and we brag about what we're doing for God. But, none of us have arrived. And we're doing and we are where we are today by the grace of God. And still, he says to you and I today, one thing thou lackest. Dear friend, God is speaking to all of us in some way today. There are those failing today because they won't stick to anything. Think about marriages. It's so easy to quit and to give up on marriages, and there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. The only perfect marriage I ever heard of is she was deaf and he was dumb. He couldn't talk and she couldn't hear. But, you'll catch on that in a minute. But anyway, marriage is a wonderful thing. And, if we would just do things in the will of God, I always say this, a lot of families involve God in their life rather than putting God first in their life. And, there's a difference in involving God. God should be first in our marriages. And so I'm sure there's things that we can improve upon. There's one thing thou lackest. What is it in your marriage relationship that's lacking? Also in our jobs. Today, the economy is so bad and a lot of people are out of work. But, a Christian ought to be the best employee that an employer has. Because by the way, it's not your boss, and we can talk all day about how you don't like him or he don't like you and how he's always on you. But the truth of the matter, Jesus Christ is our boss, and we're working for him. And so, we ought to go to work with the attitude, I'm getting paid a good day, I'm going to give him a good day's work, and Christ is my master, and Christ is my Lord and my boss. And also, churches today. There are churches today that haven't arrived, and we all need improvement, and we all need the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. One thing thou lackest, and in the ministry, I have a habit in my ministry for many years. At the end of the year, before the beginning of the year in December, I evaluate my ministry. Lord, am I where I should be? And Lord, am I being effective? And Lord, am I in the center of your will where you want me? And this year is undone. We can't undo it. But we can do something about from this day forward. And so those areas that we lack, and God is challenging us today, one thing thou lackest. And dear friends, they have a mind, they have education, they have training, they have personality, but they do not endure. They do not keep going. One of our ministries is ministering to churches that are struggling and closing their doors. And it's sad to say, it's 3-1. For every church that stays open, 3 are closing. Dear friend, are you a spirit-filled Christian? What is it in your life that you're lacking? One thing thou lackest. Do you need to say to God, oh God, something is missing in my life. Help me to correct it, to make it right. So many of us Christians, if we're not careful, we just coast through our Christian life with no goals. Unfortunately, many Christians today are just happy because they're saved and going to heaven. Well, praise the Lord. But that's not all there is to it. Thank God if I got to live in this wicked world that I can do it in the power and the strength of God. And we ought to get to the place where we want our life to be pleasing to him. You see, dear friends, I know pastors who were good men. They could quote scripture and preach great sermons, but they failed terribly. Something was wrong, maybe something morally wrong, and they turned aside. Saul of Tarsus had just about everything a man could ask for, a brilliant mind, a good education, high position, and good respect. But he did not know Christ. He did not know Christ, and he was lost. Oh, dear friend, thousands of folks have something in their lives they need to pray, oh, God, make me what you want me to be. You know, we are so selfish today, and we got our own agenda, and we got our own plans. But, you know, Jesus is challenging us. One thing that I like is it's time for us to stop worrying about what we're going to do and get busy doing what we were meant to do. Now, look at the rich. Look at the influential. Look at the politicians. Look at others. Something is wrong. Something's not quite hitting the mark. This may be true of the president, or the governor, or senator. It may be true of anybody. It also may be true of you. So what is missing in your life today? Do you know that you're born again? Do you know today for sure, all of the excuses aside, all of the justification aside, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, dear friend, you can fool your pastor, you can fool your friends, you can fool your family, but you're not going to fool God. One day, every knee is going to bow. And dear friend, do you know that you're born again? Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 with me for a moment and verse 12. I'll make sure I give you the chapter. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." When God does something twice, we already sung that already this morning. And dear friend, I'm not talking about being a Baptist, and I'm not talking about being a Methodist, and I'm not talking about being a Presbyterian. I'm asking you, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Paul knew whom he had believed. Now, dear friend, first of all, we must realize it's not about religion. We've got more religion than anything on this earth. And you know what? They had the synagogue, and they had the priests, and they had the Old Testament, and they had the Word of God. But still, they were lost and on their way to hell because they were trusting in those things and the articles of God rather than his free gift of eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friend, if you're here today, I got good news for you. Good news for you. Number one, you're not alone. And number two is that Christ had brought you here today so that you could hear some good news. Are you ready for some good news? And you know, we heard some bad news all the time. Just turn on the TV or that stupid tube there, you know, and you'll be discouraged. But there's hope for you today because Jesus Christ in the Word of God says, first of all, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, the Bible tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ." Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, but there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." John chapter 14, 1-6, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me," in verse 6. But beginning in verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are how many mansions?" Many mansions. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Say amen, Christian.
Amen.
You know, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. One of his disciples standing nearby says, "Master, how shall we know the way when we've never met the Father?" He says, Thomas, have you been with me such a short time that you have not known me? For I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man, say that with me, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Folks, it's not about membership. It's not about religion. It's not about pie in the sky. It's not about how good we are, how bad we are. Folks, it's only Jesus Christ and Christ alone. It's not what you do for Jesus, it's what Jesus did for you. The good news is this, Romans 5:8, the Bible says, for God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, dear friend, Paul knew whom he had believed. Peter thought the Lord Jesus Christ was precious. Look in your Bibles over to 1 Peter with me in chapter 2 this morning. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, if you would. Verse 7, the Bible says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Oh, you see, dear Christian, are you discouraged today? Are you feel defeated today? Do you feel overwhelmed today? And when you know when Jesus is precious to you, when we become obedient. Oh, how God loves obedient Christians. And you know, if you want victory in your life, if you want the promises and blessings of God, start obeying God. And you'll find the heavens are open to you. When I see folks that fail, I wonder sometimes if they're really saved. When I see them come to church for a while, then they quit. I wonder if they've really been born again. Recently, I was, you know, talking to a missionary who told me that 10% of missionaries come home after one term on the field. Think about that. Think about something is wrong. Check your life. Be set and established in the work of God. Oh, dear friend, first, as I said, do you know that you're saved this morning? Can you say, yes, Jesus is mine? I'm a child of God. Folks, I guarantee you, no one has to convince you. If God and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God can't convince you, nothing will be able to convince you. I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to give you the truth, and it is the truth that will do the convincing. The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart today, then you have an opportunity. You do not have to walk out of here lost. You might have walked in lost, but you can walk out saved. Somebody say amen. You know, I was down in Florida preaching in a meeting when a man came up to me and he told me, you know, Brother Randy, I heard one of your tapes from my wife who was attending one of the meetings you're at. And he said, Brother Davis, I just got saved listening to your tape. And I rejoiced with him. And he continued to tell me that he was driving from Dalton, Georgia, and was visiting friends in Georgia and asked him to listen to this tape on his way home. He said, I was a church member of First Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia, but had never been saved or born again. One thing thou lackest. Oh, dear friend, you may be a church member. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be a choir member. You may even be a preacher. But are you saved? Are you born again? You see, dear friend, a church membership is not a sign of new birth, of knowing Christ as your Savior. And by the way, if you're saved, tell others about it. Amen. One thing thou lackest. And you know, if everybody saved would go and tell somebody else, we'd have this church full this morning. You know, one thing thou lackest. Well, the teens go, but that's not you. God's pointing his finger on you today. What are you doing? What's lacking in your life? One thing thou lackest. Tell others how to be saved. Second of all, do you have a sense of direction in your life? A calling from God? Do you have a purpose in life? Hey, God didn't create us and put us here so we could just take up space. He did not give us this beautiful day today and breathe life into our lungs just so that we could, do nothing with our life. Do something on purpose. What is God's purpose for your life? God has a will, a definite purpose for your life. Will you ask, like Paul, Lord, what would you have me to do? Then do what he says. You know, 99% of God's will is in the Bible. You only have to get 1% somewhere else. You know, people always asking, you know, what's God? Well, I guarantee you it's God's will that you come to church. It's God's will that you get saved. It's God's will that you go soul winning and knock on doors and tell your lost friends and neighbors about Jesus. It's God's will that we stand up and participate in the worship service and sing praises unto God. And you know, it's right here. My dear friends, know God's will for your life and walk with Him every day. You know, just don't look good on Sunday, but walk with Him. See, one thing that I lack is, now you're a pretty good Christian. You know, I know you go to church on Sunday morning, but what about Sunday night? What about Wednesday night? What about soul winning night? What about, living and serving and walking with Christ? See, one thing that I lack is, you may do all those things and brag about what you're doing for Jesus, but none of us have arrived. And there's one thing that thou lackest. What is it in your life today? Oh, you see, my dear friends, many folks don't have direction for their life. There are drifters. Our cities are full of them, wandering up and down the streets, living in the alleys and the gutters. They haven't been born again. They haven't been called of God. I know a lot of folks are able to say, yes, I do have a sense of direction. You know, I'm so thankful for the Word of God today because, you know, God could have just saved us, just took us on home. One reason why He left us here, He gave us instruction book on how to live our lives. He didn't just leave us hopeless. And the good news here for you today is that you don't have to be facing life and struggling and wondering, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, what tomorrow's going to bring. You know, I tell Scooter so many times, every morning I wake up and I say, I don't know how in the world that people face this ungodly, wicked world and no God in their life. It would scare me to death. And there's so much comfort and strength in knowing that God is in control. And I can trust Him. He has a perfect record. You know, dear friends, I know what God wants me to do. Young man, young woman, mom, dad, God has a will for you today. A definite spot that He wants you to fill. Will you follow where He leads? If you notice in this text this morning, the one thing that Jesus asked him to do that he wasn't doing was following Jesus. See, you may be worshiping and you may be giving your tithe and you may be doing your works per se, but Jesus had asked all of us, one thing that I lack is, will you follow me? What I'm trying to emphasize is the necessity of having a sense of direction. Knowing God's will for your life, the world may not agree with you. You may have to change friends and part with some of your family, but go God's way, serve Him, obey your Lord. One thing thou lackest. I think about, you know, years ago, you know, it's so funny. When I was young and I resigned as pastor, you know, and I went into evangelism, and folks would say, yeah, you know, you're too old to be going into evangelism. And now that I'm older, they're trying to get me to quit. I ain't ready to throw in the towel yet, folks. I told them, you know, we don't need to throw in the towel. We just need to get out the plow. Amen. You know, we're not too old. Just because we're old, God's not done with us. And I used to tell them, I said, all I got is an old beat-up Chevy, a King James Bible, and a message on my heart. And, you know, I said, Lord, if you can't use me, just go ahead and kill me. The good Lord looked down there and said, that old fool's going to do it anyway. I might as well help him. You know? But you know what? One thing thou lackest. Oh, dear friend, today, do you have a sense of direction in your life? Do you desire to know the will of God for your life? Do you desire to follow God's will for your life? Third, do you know the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Now, I've said this so many times before, and I'm going to say it again, that the Holy Spirit is not power to be used. He is a person to be yielded to so that you might be used. But does He have you? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Ephesians 5:18, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's not that you get more of him, he gets more of you. Have you surrendered your life to him? From the youngest to the oldest Christians, we all need the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I preached in New Hampshire several years ago at a Bible conference on the filling of the Holy Spirit. And later, as I was walking around the grounds and talking with folks, a man asked me if I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I won't tell you what I said to him. But if you're a child of God, you have him. And my point is, do you have his filling today, or have you grieved the Holy Spirit of God? A man, asked me about that. And if you're a child of God, you have him. But does he have you? Have you given him complete control? Are you allowing him to guide and direct in your work and daily activities? That would mean dying to self. Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it? You know what? Worse than any cult, worse than the devil, worse than anything in this face of this earth that we have to fight against is that thing we look in the mirror at every day, is the God of self. See, we got to die to self if we're ever going to be effective for God. The filling of the Holy Spirit will produce many things. First of all, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it will produce, one is faithfulness. The Bible says, be thou faithful. Second, it will give you courage. The Bible says, be of good courage. And thirdly, you will have determination. Paul said, this thing I do, you will bear fruit. One thing thou lackest. Do you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit today? Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? Is he directing your life and working through you today? You know, the world around us is lost, undone, hell-bound. Lives are changed when you let the Holy Spirit have control. Are you letting him work through you, Christian? Are you letting the Spirit of God control your life? Look at our homes today. The reason why that the churches are empty, because the Holy Spirit is not in control of our families and our homes, because churches are made up of people. You see, dear friend, our businesses, our churches need Spirit-filled Christians. You know what? The happiest place in a hospital is what? At the maternity ward. Everybody loves babies, amen? But you know what is the greatest joy of any parent when babies grow up? You know what? It's one thing to grow old in church, and it's another thing to grow up. It's time to grow up, folks. It's time for people to stop holding us by the hand. It's time to stand on our own 2 feet. Somebody help me and say amen. You know, dear friends, difficulties and troubles work themselves out when you let the Holy Spirit of God guide you, fill you, and empower you. There's a story of two men in church who weren't talking. And, you know, every Sunday, you know, one sit on one side, the other sit on the other side. And then the other guy, you know, he'd stand up, another guy would sit down. One guy would sing, another guy would just bow his head. I mean, just bitterness. And so anyway, this little boy came into Sunday school one day. And he was different than the other kids. You know, he had a club foot and he kept dragging his other foot, you know. And he was different than other kids. And so the Sunday school teacher didn't seem to mind. All the little kids in the Sunday school class was laughing and making fun of him. And his name was Little Joey. And it's interesting that he got so upset, he walked out of that church that day, and he swore he would never darken the doors of a church as long as he lived. Well, you know, it wasn't long. Several years later, when he was around 16 years old, 17 years old, a man with a mustache met him. And his name was Adolf Hitler, and the little Joey's name was Joseph Goebbels, the minister of affairs for Adolf Hitler. And he took out his bitterness and his anger and all of that bitterness on a whole nation of people. One thing thou lackest. Look at the bitterness and the anger and the hatred in churches today. Hey, somebody say, one thing thou lackest. None of of us have arrived or achieved. We all need improvement, folks. Churches are dry and dead because folks have not allowed the Holy Spirit to take over. When the Holy Spirit takes over, something happens. Something happens. And fourth, do you have an overwhelming compassion for a lost world? When Jesus saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, the Bible tells us. By the way, compassion means having knowledge of man's lost condition. Turn with me in Ephesians chapter 18 for a moment and verse 4 real quick. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4 real quick. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. In verse 4, the Bible says, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And then Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, dear friend, all men and women and children are lost without Christ. Again, compassion means having knowledge of an awfulness of hell and the glory of heaven. Again, compassion means that. Knowledge of how simple gospel to win folks to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Do you have compassion for the lost today, for a dying world? Are you seeking to point others to our loving Savior? That compassion is missing with most folks. All fail unless there is that compassion and desire for lost souls. One soul is worth it all. One soul is worth it all. Do you have compassion today? Do you want to see folks saved? Ask God to use you to win them. Be a sold-out soul winner for Jesus Christ. Let me say this morning in closing, what is missing in your life? Dear Christian, what's missing in your life? If you're a lost person, never trusted Christ with your Savior, the Savior's what's missing in your life. Till you meet the Savior, nothing else is going to help. Dear friend, is it salvation? Is it direction? Is it fullness of the Spirit? Is it compassion? Or maybe all of them, or maybe none of them. Do you want God's will done in your life? Will you surrender your all to Him today? One thing thou lackest. I heard this illustration years ago as I closed. The Glory Land Express. The engine is fact. It is the Word of God. It's true, whether you believe it or not, the truth shall lead you. And then the coal car where, the train kept the coal was faith. Placing your faith like the coal car places in the engine, that's what you are to believe is truth. Then the third is the caboose, you know, the train that brings up the rear. That's feeling. See, as long as you put your faith in the Word of God, the feelings will follow as long as you stay on track. Are you on track today? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Dear Christian, what is it in your life that's missing? Have you gotten off track today? One thing thou lackest. I don't know what it is in your life. I don't know what it is in Pastor's life, but I know what it is in my life. Folks, there's not a one of us have arrived today. Every head bowed and every eyes closed, please, no one looking around for a few moments. No one, please, leaving the room this morning. Before I turn the invitation over to the pastor, I want to ask you a couple questions. Dear friend, today we talked about that person that's lost. How long are you going to keep putting that off? How long are you going to keep waiting? You know, the interesting thing is that, 40 or 53 years ago when I got saved, the devil never one time ever told me not to get saved. He just told me I had plenty of time. You know, I wonder if those folks at 9/11, if they had plenty of time. I wonder about the snipers who killed all those innocent people and buried them a few months after that, if they had plenty of time. I wonder if all the thousands that got killed here in Katrina, I wonder if they had plenty of time. I wonder, folks, that you know personally that died in the last year, I wonder if they had plenty of time. Folks,
Folks, the only time that God has promised us is today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not the next day, because God has not promised us anything but today. If you're going to do anything about your soul, you've got to do it today. I'm not trying to frighten you, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just teaching you the truth, folks, because God has only promised us today. You know, there are those who thank the Lord, you know, they go to church, you know, because they believe they're sinners. And we all are sinners. But the Bible teaches there's only one thing that pays for sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you can't earn it. You can't work for it. You know, it's a free gift from God. It doesn't cost you anything, but it costs him everything. And it's yours today. You just take it. It'll never be your gift. You take it. So we, you, as a lost person, may say, that's me. I want Christ to save me today. Now, no one look around for a moment. I'm going to ask you, if you were not 100% sure, if you died today, if you go to heaven, would you just raise your hand? I want to embarrass you. I want to pray for you. You know, God will see that hand. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Pray for me. I'm not sure. Anybody. But maybe you're here today. Maybe you're a Christian. And just say, preacher, pray for me. There are things happening in my life. I ask you to pray for me as well. Any hands at all, just pray for me, preacher. God bless you. All over. God sees those hands. Thank you so much. Lord Jesus, we sure do love you today, Lord. And we see someone today who honestly raised his hand that he doesn't know you to be personal Savior. God, I pray that he'll allow us to borrow this opportunity to take the Bible and show you from the Scripture how he can be sure and how he can have eternal life. I pray that he'll come to your heart. And then, Lord, for those Christians that raise their hand today, Lord, there's not a one of us ever lying. But we realize, Lord, there's things happening in our life. Thank you, Lord, for being honest and speaking to our hearts today. Now may we surrender our will to your will and that you have to rule away our life. In Jesus' free precious name we do pray. Amen.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. What is it that's lacking, Christian? What is it? You know, he was very clear today in a message that that probably spoke to us all one way or the other. What is it that's lacking, Christian? Maybe you're here today, you don't know Christ as Savior. The one thing that is lacking is Jesus Christ. And I urge you today, if you don't know Christ as Savior, why don't you allow him to come in and fill that void in your life and have him save you and so you could walk out of here knowing for sure you have eternal life in heaven. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart, maybe you raised your hand a while ago. Christian, you know some things are lacking in your life. Maybe you got to do business with the Lord here at the altar. If you raise your hand, you don't know for sure you're saved. Boy, why don't you come forward, shake my hand, and say, preach, I want to know for sure I'm saved. And we'll have someone show you from the precious word of God how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Our heads are bowed. God spoke to your heart this morning. Won't you move as the piano plays? All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. That's it. That's it. The altar is open. Maybe you just need to come and talk. Maybe you didn't raise your hand a while ago, but you know. There's something in your life that's lacking and you need to do business. That's it. Church, make sure you greet them and thank them for being here today. He'll be preaching again for us this evening. A little bit of water spill, that's all right. I got baptized, whatever, but anyways, yeah, pay attention, Pastor. Anyways, but be here tonight. He'll be preaching again tonight. Choir, be here for 5:10, and we'll have our evening service tonight, and he'll be here again. Thank you, brother. Thank you for being in your place today, and let's close with a word of prayer. Brother Ron, would you come on up and close in prayer? Our youth leader here, he's getting ready just about a week to take a busload of teenagers to Indiana. I appreciate Brother Ron and helping out with that. So, Brother Ron, close.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this message we heard this morning. Lord, thank you for Pastor Davis. And Lord, I just pray you'd place it upon our hearts. Help us to think about what was said today. Be the after preacher, Lord, and help us to think on those thoughts. And Lord, I pray you just keep us safe, bring us back safe tonight. And thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Just thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.